point in the program, I have to stop geeking out on William Shatner and actually take care of business. So with that in mind, we welcome for our regular Wednesday. Welcome to the Mornings with Ed show on a Wednesday. And as we do each and every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, we've got Laureen Gilbert. She's the president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. And as she reminds me this morning, she is also last year's winner of the Silver Tongue Award for KX Takeover. Right. We welcome you to the program this morning, Laureen. How are you?
Good morning, Ed. Good morning. It is pretty amazing that William Shatner at age 90 is going out into space. So just shows you, one, you know, people have longevity.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, when we're talking about finances and people planning for their futures, I mean, he's 90 years old. People need to plan to be 95 or 100 years
right,
old.
Right. It used to be.
Hey, you might want to go to space at that point. You never know.
Now, we were talking off air, and you mentioned to me that you have zero desire to be shot up into space.
I am perfectly grounded and happy to be so.
I've always said that about you. Yeah, her head is not in the clouds, folks. She is firmly grounded. Her feet are firmly planted on the ground. Well, speaking of longevity, by the way, and living to be 90, some good news for recipients of Social Security benefits.
Indeed, Ed. So Social Security announced yesterday that payments for 2022 will go up 5.9%. And that's a reflection of the inflation numbers. And that's how Social Security Administration determines what those payments are going to be. The other change that they made is they increased the Social Security wage cap, and that went up to $147,000 from $142,000. And what that means is that to get to maximum Social Security benefit, you need to make that $147,000 in 2022 to start accruing the maximum amount for Social Security. So both of those numbers are important, both the payments for the people who are receiving the money and then people who are in the system now putting money into Social Security, looking forward to those payments in the future. Now, what does that mean? The fact that Social Security is going up 5.9% means inflation is real and it's there and it can be felt. And of course, at the same time, Medicare premiums also go up. So the Medicare premium is going up by $10 from 2021. And that really does impact people as well. So even though they're getting a bump in Social Security, the average increase to Social Security next year will be around $93. So if you take 10 off of that for an average amount that might be taken off for Medicare, that increase would be around $83.
Okay. And a question as someone who's not yet receiving Social Security, but if I was and I were doing okay off of what I'm getting now, would you recommend that I take that extra 5.9% and bank it away somewhere?
Yes, I would. Absolutely. And so that's another interesting thing. So, you know, we keep hearing from the Federal Reserve that this inflation is transitory and that things are going to level out in 2022. If that were to happen, that means that Social Security recipients wouldn't have to spend it on real goods if it settles down and inflation goes down. Then they would have real extra dollars in their pocket. And of course, there's two things you can really do with that. You can spend it, which we fully expect most Americans to spend that money, which will help the economy because our GDP is highly dependent on consumerism and the consumer spending money. Or two, you can save it. You know, that is always a good idea to save those extra dollars right. Okay. For future needs.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. And I wanted to talk to you. I heard this on the radio yesterday. I was listening to a news station that there are 58 container ships backed up waiting to get into both Long Beach and San Pedro. And with the computer chip shortages we're seeing this epic port congestion right now, lack of truck drivers across the country. The world's delicate supply chains are under extreme stress, and this caused Moody to write in a report on Monday, the IMF on Monday downgraded its 2021 U.S. growth forecast by one percentage point. What effect does that one percentage point have on our economy?
Yeah. So to those numbers, the IMF actually lowered global growth as well as U.S. growth. Okay. So it wasn't just U.S. growth that went down. It was the entire global growth that they are saying, you know, because of these supply chain issues, it's going to slow down growth. And of course, not supply chain issues, the Delta variant, which kind of slowed people from really getting back to work in a lot of ways. So, you know, now the issue, Ed, is you do need workers to go back to work, whether it's on the dock or in the truck, wherever those jobs are. And what we know is there are plenty of jobs out there needing to be filled. And then not enough people willing and wanting to take a job. So the question here is, has something structurally changed in America as far as our willingness to work? And I hope the answer to that, Ed, is no, because what we, if you'll remember, we've seen in France over the decade, workers not going to work, workers striking, and it's been a real problem for their country and a problem for their economy. And right now we're seeing as well, because of vaccine mandates and people not wanting to take vaccines, people are losing their jobs. And of course, we've heard about Southwest Airlines and what's happening with the pilots, et cetera. So we've got a real problem, whether it's people not wanting to go to work, and on the flip side, people saying, I don't want to take a vaccine, therefore they're not, they're in a sense being discriminated against, being told you're not going to have a job. So we've got some real problems in our economy right now as far as just getting the workforce back.
Right. Well, I the discrimination is another conversation that we should open up here. But really, in the month of August, a record 4.3 million people quit their jobs this past August. And part of that would be more competitive wages, wouldn't it? Would we not benefit by more competitive wages? We've been on this $7.25 an hour minimum wage for 12 years now.
Well, what you're seeing, so you brought up the Great Resignation, which is a real phenomenon. And I've heard the number as much as 50% of employees are looking to change their job. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, Ed. Certainly, one is pay, but pay goes across the entire spectrum. It's not just our minimum wage workers. It's right. People all across the board. And I think for when COVID hit, and people were at home and we had a lockdown, people rethought their lives completely. I mean, I know I did. You probably did as well. We kind of rethought, like, what do I really want to do? What do I want my life to look like? And so as people came out of that, there was an opportunity to say, I want to change my job. But the interesting part is that a lot of people are leaving their jobs without having another job. It's not necessarily they're leaving to take another job. They're just leaving, knowing that the workforce has such high demand that they can get another job. And that's what's different about this. One, the magnitude, the number of people making changes, and two, people leaving their job without another job. And I know that in my generation, I was always taught, you never do that. You always make sure you have the next job lined up before you leave a job. But this, especially in millennials, they're just quitting and leaving, and hey, I'll find something else.
Right. It is different than it used to be with seeking jobs or needing jobs.
And of course, that makes it very tough in the small business owner world. You know, the number one issue right now is finding the workers that small business needs.
And I think the theme for you and I today is demand. As I ask you this next question, I had a real estate agent on, Jennifer Halpert, a couple of days ago, who mentioned to me that the market is so tight, the real estate market is so tight, demand is so big for houses that in many cases she's showing the same set of houses to 20, 30 different families. There's not a lot of stuff out there.
Right.
What does this mean going forward?
Yeah, so a couple of things. If you own a home, you're frightened to sell your home because you don't know where you're going to buy a home. So where you would normally have a flow of people selling, people buying, people selling, people buying. We don't have that because if you own a home, you're like, no way am I going to sell my home. I'll never find another one. And so it is increasing that backlog. People just say, I'm just not going to sell. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit tight. And so you're having people that need to buy a home for whatever reason. They're transferred into a new area or they've decided to buy a home, like all the millennials who finally woke up and said, oh, I guess I better buy a home. I mean, for the last decade, they were like, no, I don't want to buy a home. Now they want to buy a home. They realize maybe I want to have a family and settle down and all those things. So we have a lot of pressures right now, and it is definitely making the demand much higher than the supply. And by the way, Ed, it's not just Southern California. You know, I bought a home earlier this year in Dallas, Texas, and in many parts of the country, you're finding the same issue. And it is, I'll tell you, my own experience was harrowing. I mean, it was nerve-wracking because to your point, you'd have 20 or 30 people, and I made an offer on a house before I even saw the house.
Wow.
Because I was trying to just, as soon as it came on the market, without even seeing it, I put in an offer.
Wow.
And, you know, that's kind of what it takes right now. Now, they're saying, if you talk to, and I'm sure the person you interviewed this week probably talked about a little bit of slowing down, not quite as much hype, maybe, but still, there's the issue of supply. So, and I don't see that stopping. I don't see the prices stopping from going up. I think that the housing market is going to continue to see price increases along with the inflation numbers that we're seeing. They tend to be correlated. And I think that it's going to take a long time with all of these supply chain issues to work them out. It's going to take much longer than we originally thought.
Well, I'm going to ask Laureen Gilbert of 20 years ago, would you have ever thought yourself to do that, to buy a house or make an offer on a house that you hadn't even seen? Would you have done that 20 years? Could you have imagined yourself doing that?
Absolutely not. And I never could have imagined that I would ever put an offer that was full price because that's not what you do.
Right.
You know, you go in, you go lower, right? But in this market, it was you either go in at full price or even above asking. And I never would have imagined that. Not even 2 years ago would I have imagined that.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for that. So I want to talk about, and again, demand. Demand is the theme of the day. The cost of energy was dirt cheap last spring of 2020. Roads and airports were nearly empty, and it was the height of the COVID pandemic. But energy demand is back, and what we saw this week was oil prices finishing above $80 a barrel. A couple of questions here tied into one. Do you see $100 a barrel of oil in the near future? And would that be the last gasp for fossil fuels, and would they be pricing themselves out of the market, and we'd have to look at alternative sources seriously at that point?
So a couple of things, Ed. We were energy independent a year ago, and we are no longer energy dependent. And it's a problem for America because as much as we are moving towards alternative fuels, that's not a quick fix. It's not something where we can flip a switch and that happens. It's going to take decades in order for that kind of change to happen. So it's disappointing that we no longer have the energy independence that we did. And yes, I do think those price increases in oil are going to continue and very likely will hit $100 a barrel. I can't say when, but it is probable that that will happen.
And I know that if you and I pull up together at the same stoplight, you look over at me and laugh because I'm in a gas guzzler and you're in a nice electric car, right?
And I'm in electric and I've been electric. And listen, I'm all for electric. I'm just saying, you know, it's going to take a while.
Right.
Just, you know, I was asking Porsche about their Macan and asking them, you know, because that's a great little SUV vehicle, but it's still a gas vehicle. And I said, when is that going to be all electric? And they say, it's coming, but it's not coming next year, and it will probably be 2024. So, you know, even a company like Porsche that has entered into the electric vehicle market to transform all of their vehicles to electric, it takes time. They have to work through issues. So, you know, as well as the U.S. manufacturers, and even if they get this subsidy in effect through the infrastructure package, which will benefit U.S. manufacturers on the EV side, it's still going to take them time,
right,
even with the government, in effect, helping them out with that financially.
All right. You came up with a word that I'd never heard before, but you, apparently it's yours, jouncy. What does jouncy mean?
Well, jouncy is bouncy and jolting, and that is a combination of those two words, and it's really, we were talking about it in our weekly market commentary, and that's what's been going on in the markets lately. And the markets right now are trying to sort out what is happening, and it's interesting because you know, many people that are bearish and many people that are bullish, and the market's trying to figure out which one is right. Now, we land on the bullish side. We land that while we're seeing this volatility that is very seasonally driven, and oh, you'll remember, we were just talking last week about the debt ceiling, and there was a temporary solution. It's not a permanent solution. It's temporary. So that kind of lifted the markets a little bit, but it's kicking the can down the road. There still needs to be something that happens in December or before. And once again, I will say it again, very confident that we will figure that out and get beyond the debt ceiling issue. But the market's still way, like, how worried should we be about that? And then the inflationary concerns, how worried should we be about that? But here's the deal. We are starting the earnings season for third quarter. And I fully expect the earnings to be, once again, we see significant growth in earnings. Now, what we will be listening for are, how are these companies dealing with supply chain issues? And I will tell you, it not only it's supply chain issues as well as inflation. And on the inflation front, you're going to hear a lot that they're increasing costs to the consumer. And on the supply chain front, you're going to hear, what creative ways are they navigating their own supply chain challenges? So that's what we'll be listening for on earnings calls.
Always thorough, always concise. And I should say this, I want the audience to know that not only do we get these type of very informative conversations each and every Wednesday, but Wealthwise Financial Services, and Laureen in particular, supporters of the radio station and supporters of the Mornings with Ed show. And not just that, but sponsors at the Taste of Laguna happening tomorrow night. Are you ready for it?
I am looking forward to it, Ed. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, yes, I'm looking at, hope the community of Laguna Beach comes out for it.
And have you been practicing the Mick Jagger strut? So we're going to do two things. I want the audience to know this. At 6 o'clock, you already know this, Laureen, we're going to be presenting you with your, finally, you're picking up your trophy for the Silver Tongue Award. We're going to present you with that at 6 o'clock, and I'd love for you to speak to the audience for a couple of minutes. At 8 o'clock, I'm going to bring you back up, and then we're going to train you briefly on the Mick Jagger strut, and you and I together are going to, together with the rest of the community, do it.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Sounds like fun.
So let's practice a little bit right now, if you would. Put your hands on your hips, and I'll start a Rolling Stones song here. All right? And then... You kind of walk around like a rooster. Walk around like kind of like a rooster and get your head going a little bit. All right.
I'm practicing.
I can't wait to see you do it tomorrow night. Laureen Gilbert, Wealthwise Financial Services. How do we find you?
WealthwiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
Always a pleasure to speak with you, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
Thank you, Ed.
Laureen,
have a great day.
Laureen, thank you very much. Laureen Gilbert, Wealthwise Financial Services, 820 The Time on the Mornings with Ed show.